Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. I'm John Shannon, Landon Ferraro in Vancouver. Landon, how are you? How are you staying busy? How are those 11-year-olds coming?
They're coming along pretty good, but I will say the majority of my summer is like I get busy during the season, and in the summertime, my wife's a dental hygienist, so she works quite a bit, and we got our year and a half year old, so a lot of daddy daycare. We were down in Cole Harbor this morning watching the seaplanes take off and land, so that was our big exciting morning.
It's funny you say that. So I live in suburban Toronto, and I have a couple of NHLers that live in the neighborhood, and we don't have seaplanes landing on Lake Ontario, which is about 300 feet from my house, but we do have trains. And so I will drive the car, and there's Ryan Strom with two of his little kids up to where the trains are, and it kills an hour, and life is pretty good for the kids, and mom gets a break, and dad is in charge in the summertime. That must be... I guess that's the way of life when you think about it, when, you're married to the job and you have a girlfriend or you have a wife and there's a commitment to the game that they have to compromise as much as you do.
Yeah, like the summers, you know, like I lived it as a kid growing up, and, you know, dad's in and out throughout the season, and, you know, my mom had to, you know, she was basically raising us, me and my older brother, by herself with my dad popping in and out during the season. And once summertime hits, you know, he'd make sure he got up early, work out probably 7 to 9 o'clock. And, you know, me as a little 5, 6, 7 year old, I'd always run up. Him and Kevin Sawyer, who does the games in Winnipeg, would be up there working out, and I'd go do bench press with the little 2.5 pound weights and try and get in there with them. But as soon as that was done, like, it's funny looking back, I just wanted to go play. And, you know, as I got older in my career, and you start to feel everything a little bit more, and, you know, as soon as his workout was done, we were out on the boat, he was taking us tubing, we were going to the golf course, he's doing everything he can to, you know, make up for time that he lost during the season, and that's what all those guys are going through now.
That sounds like good life at Christina Lake.
Oh, it was the best. I'm bringing my family up in a couple of weeks, so that'll be really nice, but it's one of the best places in BC.
It is a hidden gem. Halfway between Trail and really the Okanagan Valley, and lots of big names on Christina Lake at some point or another.
I mean,
the Tambellinis were there for a while too, right?
Yeah, they were across the lake from us, and the one, like, you know, once my dad retired, the gym got out of the garage, so I'd have to drive into Grand Forks, and Barrett Jackman would be in there all the time. And again, you can see I'm not the biggest of guys, and Barrett was in there just lifting the gym every day, and I'm like, I'm trying to play in the same league as that guy.
Hey,
it was a lot to take in.
Were you as your career? When did you get married?
4 years ago now. So we did the COVID wedding, and then just after as well.
After your playing career, really.
We had 2 years over in Germany together after we got married. But we've been together 12 years. So she moved around the States and saw a lot of different parts of the Midwest I don't think she ever planned on seeing.
God, I hope she's a hockey fan.
Not really. She was supportive, but she'd go to the games and hang out with the girls. She enjoyed that part. The games, we get to the end sometimes. She's like, oh, you know, you guys won 4-2. Like, well, it was 3-1. But yeah, close enough. You know, we did get the win.
Well, our guest today is another one of the – he's a lifer because he's part of a hockey family as well. Jake DeBrusk is going to be with us. Obviously, his dad – Louis is a commentator for Sportsnet and on Hockey Night in Canada. So Jake has lived the life in the dressing room as a five-year-old, whether it be living in Arizona where Louis's career finished and he got into broadcasting, or all along the way living in Edmonton too. So it's going to be a fascinating talk. I wonder if Jake has a gift of the gab like his dad does.
Just chatting with him a little bit this year, I was laughing. Usually, especially when you're just meeting guys in the room, you do most of the talking and they're kind of feeling you out. It was like me and him trying to jockey for who gets most words in. So I think we'll have a pretty good one here.
I tell you what, though, that's fascinating because I do think that probably there's a little bit of a bond because you guys do have a lot in common. You both played in Boston. Your dads are both commentators. You understand what he's gone through. He understands what you've gone through. So there, it might have been an easier conversation for you than most.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you just have an understanding, right? Like, we both experienced, like you said, like the playing side. But even as you're getting older, and, you know, he started in Swift Current and finished in Red Deer. I played the majority of my junior in Red Deer as well. So, like, I was older, but we kind of followed the same sort of deal. And, you know, like I said, he's just so easy to talk to, and someone that you can tell loves what he does and is excited to talk about it. So it makes it pretty easy once you kind of get going with him.
Well, he had a career high 28 goals for the Canucks last year in his first year in Vancouver. His career high prior to that, he hit 27 twice with the Boston Bruins. But I would suggest, and he may tell us this too, that he needs to build on that and needs to be help getting this team to the Stanley Cup playoffs, because a guy at his age, after being drafted in the first round by the Bruins, gets used to playing in the postseason. So we'll see. So Landon's there, I'm here, and Jake DeBrusk is going to join us after this on 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it, and enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks, joined by Canucks left winger, Jake DeBrusk. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, are you kidding me? It's summertime. But mind you, I'm not working out like you are. I assume you worked out today.
Yes, I did. It's that time of year. It's been going on for a while. It feels like it's been a long summer, to be honest with you. So
when did you start?
I started a couple weeks after the season. I took some time off. I played all 82, and just kind of everything that happened this year. I haven't really had the opportunity to have this long of a summer, so I tried to see my friends and family and things like that. And then I started kind of easing into it. And yeah, I've been full tilt for a while now, just kind of like everyone is.
Are you a guy that generally gets going pretty quick? Or, I mean, I guess it depends how far you go in playoffs and things like that. But, like, do you like getting back to work?
I take my time. I take my time for, you know, my mental side of things and physical side. But I think it was even after the year went to the finals and kind of having that short turnaround of a summer kind of taught me how to kind of manage myself, I guess, in that way. So I feel like I try to change it up every year a little bit in terms of timing, but I kind of wait until I get bored enough where I kind of need to go back. And sometimes it's faster and sometimes it's not.
Actually, Landon just used an interesting word there that I have never contemplated it. And that was, he described it as work.
Yeah.
Do you describe it as part of your job?
I mean, yeah, this is what I do. I don't feel like it's necessarily a job, though. I mean, if your job is you going to the gym and working out for an hour and a half and going to skate, it's a pretty good gig. But there's pros and cons that come with it, obviously. But I mean, being here in the summer and just enjoying, like I said, kind of my family's company and things like that nature, it doesn't feel like a job to me still. But it's kind of something that I know that's what I do.
So it's about 2 months before the regular season starts again. Camps starts in about 6 weeks. Do you get a sense that hockey's coming back, or are you still in that summer mode?
Yeah, I could feel it. I mean, I've been on the ice for a while now, and it's weird. You know, like I said, this is the longest offseason I've had, so I'm kind of, you know, obviously everyone's itching to get back and get the season rolling here, but this feels really long. So I definitely feel like it's getting closer to that. I usually kind of, once the schedule gets released, usually that's kind of the cue for me to, you know, ramp it up and start thinking that way, you know.
Do you look at the schedule? Do you map it out?
I do, especially at the beginning. I like looking at the first month, just seeing if we're on the road, or especially at the travel in Vancouver. You know, that was a little bit of an adjustment for me. So I kind of like knowing what I'm going into. I don't know at all if you're going to ask me right now, but I do look at the kind of our first road trip and where we're going is usually, and then it all just becomes second nature.
But you do know when you're going back to Boston.
Yeah, actually before Christmas, I think. Yeah. Before Christmas, I think we play on a back to back, maybe. I could be wrong, but, or that's maybe at home. I'm not sure. But yeah, do look at some familiar teams, I guess.
Now, like, are you a guy, you know, going through summer and getting to training camp? Like, are you someone that puts like number goals on your season, or are you kind of just more about the process and, you know, just trust it that way? Or like, how do you look at your year going into it?
Yeah, going into this season, obviously, I want to improve. I'm not sure if I'm the guy that goes off of just straight statistics in terms of, you know, do I have goals to score over 30 goals? Of course, but I wouldn't be able to narrow it down to exactly what 30 I'd want. You know, then people will say, well, then shoot for 40 because then you'll get to 30, right? So it's one of those things where I'm more of a process guy. I just want to be feeling good, feeling healthy, feeling, you know, in good shape and ready to go for camp. And that's kind of what I focus on at this time of the year. And then as the year goes on, I kind of adjust it, I guess, week to week, or, you know, especially the way things go for me. It seems like I can't really, you know, think too much in advance. I just got to stay in the moment for most of it.
You know, like a lot of scorers, like, you know, there's obviously stretches of games where the puck seems to go in a lot easier for you. Like, what's that feeling like when, I guess two parts of it, like when you're in a bit of a slump and you're trying to get out of it, when you're going into a game, like what's your mindset? And then when it is flowing for you, like, what does that feel like too?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, it's highs and lows, you know, and as you get older and you go through more of them, and every single one feels like it's the, you know, it's a roller coaster in some ways. Every time you start getting into a slump or you start feeling like one's coming, you start gripping the stick. It's the same things you hear about everybody when they don't score in a while. You know, you're not getting the looks, you're not getting the, you start kind of second guessing your game. And, you know, after a while, you know, once it gets to the end, usually you just decide to go out there and play. And then funny enough, that's usually when it comes around for me. But no, it's one of those things where you understand what's happening. It's the best league in the world. And sometimes you're going to score goals you probably shouldn't. And sometimes you're not going to score goals that you should. So you just got to kind of take the punches when they come. And then when it goes to the other side, it's a great feeling. You know, obviously, you know, your confidence and everything. And, you know, for me, it seems like it's a constant thing. So I try to take that noise out of it when things are going bad. But when things are going good, I try to get myself to get into it because I'm like, oh, I'm getting hot. You try to keep it going, right? Momentum. But again, you know, the game is all about mistakes, and you just try to capitalize on them. And that's something that I've tried to get better at throughout my whole career, is trying to keep those spurts in consistency. But if you look at every single goal scorer in the league, they all go through something similar, unless you're scoring 50 or high 40s. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the cup half full version of being in a slump is streaky. And you have been in your career streaky. That's right. When you get on a roll, you get on a roll, Jake.
Yeah. I don't know why it's so streaky.
Can you explain that?
Honestly, no. I've tried to figure it out in so many different ways. I think it's maybe when you're, you know, rolling in terms of scoring goals, maybe your game slips away a little bit towards the end of that. And then it kind of goes in back to neutral or back to, you know, I don't think it goes from high to low, high to low. I think there's a couple games in between where, you know, I think I can get better at as kind of understanding that, you know, you're not going to score in every single game. You're not going to score, you know, in bunches all the time. I can't rely on that for, you know, longevity, let alone consistency. So I've thought of different ways to go through that, whether that's just, you know, in terms of mental, you know, trying to think differently, and then also physically, you know, in terms of what I'm going to try to play, like when those things are, I guess, coming into fruition, you know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, when you talked about playing all 82 games last year, that must have been satisfying for you when you consider the ups and downs you went on, particularly in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, you can't control injuries. I think that's one thing that, you know, I play with a couple big ones, but injuries are part of the game. It was obviously one of those things that was, I guess, talked about a little bit when I was coming over from Boston, but I was healthy. Obviously, I wish I could have done more in the A2, but in saying that, that's what I'm looking, you know, hopefully to keep, you know, climbing on every single year. It's unrealistic to say that for the rest of my career, I can play 82 and go for an Ironman streak. But, you know, that's, you just take it, I guess, game by game on that side.
You know, like we've had some, you know, you and me have had pretty parallel lives. Luckily for you at the NHL level, yours went like this. But, you know, like growing up, I think, were you 8 when your dad retired?
Somewhere around there? I think around there, yeah. Because I think it was in the 05 or 06 lockout. So, yeah, around there, yeah.
Like, do you remember a bunch of being around the room? And on top of that, like, you know, your dad's obviously calling games for Edmonton. Like, do you still talk to him after every game? Is that something you guys do, or is it, you know, a little bit less now as you've gotten farther into your career?
I think going to your first part of your question, I think that I don't remember a ton of being around the room when he was playing. But I do remember being around the room all the time when he wasn't, when he was commentating and when he was in Arizona and started off from radio. I was around the room all the time. I do remember being around the room, but I see pictures or things or, you know, all these stories and stuff about how I was always around. And I have no doubt I was always there. But I don't really remember until he started commentating, to be honest. Then I kind of put two and two together. But in terms of the second part of your question, you know, I think that I don't reply to him as much as I probably should these days. I think that, you know, I love my dad. He's the best. And seems like I call him only when I need to in those terms. But we still keep each other up to date on, you know, different things and stuff of that nature. But, and, you know, now coming to Vancouver, the thought process was I get to see him a little bit more. But him being around the game, especially growing up and kind of coming up through the ranks, I leaned on him all the time. He'd give me, you know, words of encouragement, and different things when we worked together. And, he's the one I care about the most in terms of what my game's actually at. And there's sometimes he sends me a message and, it's not the analytics side, it's the dad side, if I got to get going kind of thing. And, I take those to heart.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm in the Mordori here. I'm the only guy whose dad wasn't a commentator. Yeah. Between the two of you.
Yeah.
So this is one of those times where the old guy is out to lunch. But how do you manage that part of it, Jake? And Landon, you can follow it up. When your dad says something critical about somebody, does it ever come back and bite you?
Oh, in terms of like on the ice or?
Well, hey, listen, chirping's chirping.
Yeah, good point. I think actually my dad's pretty tame in terms of players. I haven't watched that many being in the East Coast the last, you know, 7 years. And I got to see more of him. He's pretty tame, but I get worried about him with the refs sometimes. You know, what's funny is I worry about him with the refs a little bit just because I don't know if that'll come back to bite me at some point.
Yeah, that was always in the forefront of my mind. I got to Detroit and Bertuzzi let me know pretty quick that he wasn't a big fan of my dad's. He was he was a little bit outspoken, but, you know, like another cool part of that is, you know, I think you and me are the only two guys that have been interviewed by our dads on the ice. And mine was my very first game in Boston. It was the first, like, I got into the room, I didn't know anyone there. And so I got told that I'm going to be doing this interview. I'm like, I got to get out of this as fast as I can. And I remember watching your first one, though, and like how much fun you guys had with it. Like, it's a pretty cool moment for your family, eh?
Oh, it's hard to describe. I mean, you know, I think we talked about this during the season as well, and I think I kind of said something similar. I didn't know if I'd be around for that long. I think it was pretty early in my career too, so I wanted to make it, I just wanted to make it a little more fun in some ways, like in terms of, I don't know if this is the only time we're going to have an interview, so might as well joke around with him a little bit. And then the second time he joked around with me, but just the feeling of that being on the ice, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, honestly. You know, it's your dad, it's someone you've looked up to your whole life. And then, you know, they're doing the interview with you, and it's just kind of something that I honestly say we could never guess growing up that would be the case. You know, obviously I think that there's pictures and stuff like that, but just have a family moment like that is pretty cool, I think, anyways.
So after being drafted by the Bruins and then signing as a free agent in Vancouver, when did you finally think and realize that you were a Canuck last year?
You know what? Honestly, the first time that I put on the jersey was probably the time I felt it the most. Even though it was in preseason, just seeing those colors. I haven't worn those colors since junior hockey, you know, in Swift Current there. So I just see the blue again. But that's when I realized, you know, obviously I, you know, go through training camp and all that, but I think for me, when it hit was I put the jersey on, then home opener, honestly, going for a home opener for a new team. I was so used to knowing kind of how the roll call worked, where I was in line, just the little simple things I found kind of were catching me at the, at those times.
And your life in Vancouver, you like it?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of rain. There is. That's what everyone says. But that's true.
Hold on. The weather. You can't be bitching about the weather in Vancouver after the weather in Boston.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's you know, I said it was weirdly similar, actually, in some ways. When it's nice, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. But I really enjoyed it. Honestly, I did. It was everyone treated me so nice there. And just for first year kind of coming in, learning the ropes, kind of where to go and dinners, the food's unreal. And then being close to my family, I have nothing but good things to say about my first year. And I can't wait to get back.
Yeah, well, and, you know, getting into next year, like, you know, we don't have to go crazy into last year. Things were what they were. It got off the rails a little bit and there's a lot of different things going on. I imagine, you know, the season ends, you guys are talking and you're already kind of looking to next year. Like, where do you think your team as a whole can really kind of get moving early on to put last year behind them and just get going in the season a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think wins help. I think getting wins early help. You know what I mean? Take some of that, I guess, those questions out of the way. But I think with just everything that happened last year, I think the biggest thing for our team is just to, you know, figure out what our identity wants to be as a team and then stick with that through the highs and lows of the season. You know, obviously from our goaltending, from our defensemen you know, I think we can all look at our roster and everyone likes to look at the paper. You know, everyone likes to look at the, I guess what's on paper, sorry, not necessarily the paper. I don't know if guys actually read the paper, but probably Twitter. I'm more so meant you can look what's on, you know, paper for certain teams. And every single year there's teams that, you know, people talk about how they have no chance. I've been on a couple of them, which sounds funny coming from Boston, the teams that I was on, where they didn't think we're going to make the playoffs. Everyone thought we were going to be worse, you know, when we lost Bergeron and Krejci and, you know, obviously different scenario, but no one gave us a chance. And it doesn't seem like everyone's really, you know, I feel like the opinion is something that we can use to our advantage in terms of inside the room, in terms of, you know, what looking forward to the season can be. It's kind of what we make it. So we, you know, I think the biggest thing is obviously just getting closer as a team. You know, me coming in my second year, obviously a lot's happened in the first year and it's done with. But everyone starts off at zeros and I think a couple wins would help and probably some overtime wins. I think that really killed us last year.
Are you a social media follower? Are you one of those guys that's always on your phone getting on the bus?
I try not to stay on it as much as possible, but I think growing up in that age where, you know, at 18 in Boston with the draft and how everything went down with that, I don't think there's anything that can affect me, positive or negative anymore. I think it's been ingrained in me in some ways in different terms, but you know, I think that it's, you can use it for, you know, motivation. I always suggest to not go on it. I think that's just the best way around it. But, that's how you get your information nowadays in terms of everything around the league, in terms of if there's anything going on in the world, there's different kind of outlets, but I'm not on it all the time. I wouldn't say like that, especially not during the season, more so in the summer when I'm bored, I'll go on it and check out certain things. But, I think it's honestly how you're able to take it, or not necessarily take it, but how you are able to adapt to that, and then you can kind of proceed.
Are there comparisons between Boston and Vancouver as far as the pressures?
Well, I haven't played in the playoffs in Vancouver yet, so I don't know. I always consider that is when you know as a player what the type of pressure is in terms of the city vibe, in terms of the media attention. Obviously, being in a Canadian city comes with being in a Canadian city. So I would say it's very similar actually in that way. But once I go farther and we go farther as a team, that's when I'll be able to truly answer that question, because I always think around playoffs is when you kind of get a real feel on what the media is like.
But yeah, I would tell you the last 3 weeks of the season were kind of like that for you, weren't they? I mean, when you think about it.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And I think there's a lot of different things going on, but very true. You're right. You know, obviously going for the playoff push and everything, and we had injuries and all these things. And no, you're right. And I think that's when I got my first taste of Canadian media in that way. But everyone treated me nice so far, I think. So you know, I passed, I guess, in some ways. But in all seriousness, you know, we didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, it comes with the business. You know, you don't perform, you don't produce. This is what I signed up for.
You know, like for you as a scorer, like a lot of your work comes right around the net, like in tight. You got that shorter little stick that, you know, I don't know if you've always used that, but like, has that always been your kind of calling card, you know, all the way back to junior and before that, always around? Or have you just gotten more comfortable in there as your career's gone on?
I think that it started off even when I was younger, because the only way I'd be put on the power play unit if I was in front of the net. And this is when I was playing, when I was 5'0" and everyone else was around 6 foot. I was a late bloomer. I was really small. But the only way I get on the power play was going in front of the net. And, you know, I'm not screening the goalie. The goalie was taller than me. So I had to kind of figure out how to work it there. In junior, it was a little different, but I was pretty much called, I think. One of my favorite players growing up, which is kind of funny, used to be Ryan Jones when he was playing for the Oilers.
Sure.
And he always had greasy goals. This guy scored the greasiest goals, you know, 5-fold backhand, had decent mitts inside. And I, you know, got to know Ryan a little bit too, so I love him just as a guy. But I always thought that, you know, me and my dad always used to say greasy goals. And I think that is my calling card, is I score greasy goals. I don't score necessarily. Sometimes I score pretty ones, but they all count. And this year it was weird, though. I never really scored the amount of goals like in certain ways that I did this year. I think just with Quinn being back there, obviously, the way that he plays, I just found that I didn't know where to go on the ice at the start of the season. You know, I was trying to follow him around a little bit, and then I just started heading towards the front of the net because it eventually would get there. And, you know, then you start, you know, getting more deflections and more tips. And but it's something that I could definitely work at. I think there was a lot of room for improvement on just the net front side. But I'd say I guess I scored some greasy ones. But I was surprised with how many didn't go in off the rush this year, to be honest with you.
And like you bring it up there, like playing with Quinn Hughes, and, you know, he's, you know, one of the best in the game. And how he moves, you know, I would say, like, you played with a pretty good passer in David Krejci in Boston. Like, Krejci was unbelievable the way that he could see the game. But once you get here and now you're working with Quinn, like, he kind of touched on it there, but how hard is it not to defer to him all the time and really create your own space as well while he's moving?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's hard not to. You know, that's usually the right play, is to give it to him the puck and then try to get somewhere to get open. But I think that's something I actually learned in Boston myself, was playing with, you know, Berge and Marshy there for, you know, a year and a half or 2 years. You can't defer to those guys always. They'll get mad at you. They won't like it if you're missing a pass on a 2-on-1 if you don't make the right hockey play. Not necessarily mad, but, you know, like, it's one of those things where you see these young guys come into camp and all they do is pass the puck. And I don't even blame them. Everyone does it when you first come in the league, just because you have so much respect for the players. But you also have to realize it's your turn too sometimes, and that's how the line works out better. In terms of defensemen, I've never had a defenseman take over games like him. I've never, you know, you hear all these things, you see him, you play against him, and seeing him through a full, you know, first season now. There's a couple times, I will admit, there's a couple times he called for the puck when I was with him on the ice, and I just dropped it or tried to make a play, and he wasn't open. And I was like, Quinn, you can't be talking to me like that, man. I'll give it to you if you're open, but, like, you can't be saying my name and my back, and then I give it away. I look like I just made a terrible play, you know. I was like, tell me when you're open, I'll give it to you whenever you want. But that's kind of the funny side of it. I was like, you know, I think I did like a drop pass and it was like a 2-on-1 because he was the defenseman. So it was like, you know what I mean? And I was like, so there's like, you know, and you get to learn the guys and there's communication there. But no, he's a dominant player. And obviously the way that we play, I think, is around him, and it should be.
Which, by the way, is a little different than you did play in Boston when you talked about being with Marchand and being with Bergeron. Although Charlie McAvoy is a pretty good defenseman, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't managing the game the way Quinn manages games, correct?
Yeah, they're different players. I think Chucky is an amazing defenseman, obviously. I pretty much grew up with Charlie. But I wouldn't say I don't know about necessarily offensively. I think offensively, they're just different players. You know, right. Charlie's kind of more of a, you know, obviously he's known for his big hits, but he plays tough minutes and shuts down guys. And he adds in some offense. He's got some hands and things like that. But I don't think you can really compare anybody to Quinn except for Kale, in my opinion. I don't know who else is, in that realm of, you know, taking over a game. I've never played with a defenseman that manages the game like Quinn does in that way. But there's things that Charlie does better than Quinn. And there's things that Quinn does better than Charlie, in my, you know, personal opinion. But yeah, I've never really seen someone dominate like that.
The other thing is that your number one center is, I think, one of the best players in the game. And he's, how can you help Pettersson get to the game that he should have on a daily basis? Do you ever think about that? Do you worry about that?
Well, when I first came in, I tried to be his best friend and, you know, try to get as close as I could to him, which I probably failed at because I think he got a little annoyed at me at the end of the year. I think I made like a top 15 friends list and he kept asking me to get put lower on it. So I don't know if I failed at that part already, but he can't get rid of me yet. So that's good. No, I think Petey's got, I agree. I think that's one of the things I was most excited about was coming to Vancouver was a guy like Quinn, a guy like Petey. You know, you look at that and as a forward, as a left winger, I look at a lot of opportunity and I don't think I did necessarily a good enough job for him last year. I think that it always going to get, you know, personalized in terms of stats and, you know, what's everyone's points like and things. But I don't think when I was playing with him, I gave him my best game either, in fairness. I think we're figuring each other out and it took some time. But I think Petey, you know, is going to have a good offseason. He's going to come back in good shape. And the skill is there. You know what I mean? Like the skill, his hands, his vision. And I don't think you can teach some of those things. You can teach the other things. And I have a lot of faith in him. I mean, I signed a 7-year deal to play with him. So, I mean, I believe in him more than probably most.
Now, you know, like the team is, as they're still kind of figuring out the forwards and where it's all going to shake out, but, you know, they signed Demko to his extension, so now you have Lankinen and Demko. You have Quinn and Hronek and Myers and the young kids that are pushing up and had done a good job last year coming in. Like, it looks like a team that's going to be very good defensively. Like, does that give you... I mean, I imagine it makes you excited, but does it give you a bit more confidence to take an extra risk here and there when you're trying to find and create offense?
Yeah, well, I think that for me personally, I take a lot of that on my shoulders. You know, I look at that and I go, okay, well, there's a lot of opportunity for me to be even more offensive in that way. You know, we got guys behind us that are, you know, proven in this league and obviously great players. And we got Demmer behind or Lanks behind us that can stop other pucks. But I play on some pretty defensive minded teams. Or I mean, only one other one, that's Boston. So I'm pretty much used to this type of a style. And I think that I've had a career out of it. I think that obviously there's going to be times where, you know, it might be a tight 2-1 game or 3-2 game. And I take a lot of pride in being that guy to score that goal to tie it or to win it. And we got lots of guys. Obviously getting Brock back was huge. You know, Gar is a great player. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier, Petey, and I can name other guys on there. It's going to take a collective unit, but I think it'll make the unit better. I think that's how I look at it positively is it's not going to be about one guy scoring. We're not going to have that. We're going to need everybody to kind of get all hands on deck. But knowing we have the, you know, the backbone behind us as an offensive guy is exciting. It's that's what you want to play for. You don't want to score four points a game if you're losing 5-4. It doesn't really matter. You know, we need to get to the playoffs is kind of the point, and defense wins championships.
How much have you heard from Adam Foote?
A little bit. I saw him in Vancouver, actually, out to dinner, unplanned. But I said hi to him, told him congrats, and just a quick chat. But that's about it as of now. He says he owes me a call. He's been trying to reach me, or we've been playing phone tag. So I'll see him anytime. I'll see him soon anyways.
Are you, like, will you be back in town early, or are the guys planning to come back into town a bit early? I mean, Vancouver is, you sit through the rain, like you said before, but you know, it's pretty nice here right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. When I was there 2-3 weeks ago, maybe. And I was there for a weekend. It was insane. I couldn't believe it. I mean, and you hear about it, but I've actually never been to Vancouver really in the summers, like my whole life. So I didn't want to leave. But yeah, guys have talked about it. I've texted with a couple of guys and just kind of getting a feel on when guys want to come down and you know, kind of get all settled, right? It's super easy for me. I'm an hour flight away or a, you know, a 9-hour drive now these days. So I can.
You're not driving. Come on.
I do. Oh, yeah.
It's a nice drive.
I do. Oh, yeah. I do. It's beautiful. And also, I've driven a lot this year. I mean, I live in Calgary and I kind of go back and forth from Edmonton. I think I've done it like 12 times this year. So I'm seasoned. I'm ready to go. But I'll be probably heading down a little earlier. Yeah, I don't know exactly when everything starts, but we're getting more information each day. But yeah, just kind of reading off guys kind of when they're going to be back. And like I said, I'm only an hour flight away. So, you know, I can kind of come whenever, honestly.
So just curious, when you say you worked out today, what is that in the weight room and then on the ice, or how do you vary how your workouts go?
Yeah, just today was just in the weight room. So there was no ice today. We have ice on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then sometimes there's ice on the Thursdays. It kind of depends on the week or if guys got things going on. But yeah, just in the weight room today, and just kind of did some like track stuff today. It was like a speed sprint day and a couple little bit of lifting, and then I head back home. So it's nice. I actually, the group I work out with is with Morgan Geeky, who I was friends with out Boston. Mm-hmm. When I moved here, I didn't know where to go, so I asked him, and I've been with the group now for 2 years. So, but I could definitely tell a difference of being comfortable with everybody there, and you know, kind of get my work done and things like that. And they got a good setup.
So why Calgary? You mean you're from Edmonton and you're going to Vegas? Yeah. You live in Calgary.
Yeah, no, my girlfriend works here actually. So okay. Following her. Yeah. There's, and you know, Calgary's actually a pretty decent city in the summer. Well, I hate to admit it. It's not bad. But yeah, no, she works here. So I had to follow her.
I tell you what, Jake, one of the great things about living in Calgary, because my wife and I lived there 15 years, was deciding at 5 o'clock that we should go to Banff.
Yeah,
it's great things.
It's right one of the there.
Magical things. It's right there, and yeah. It's an hour drive, and you can have dinner and have a good time and get home.
Yeah, we're actually planning on doing one because she doesn't really have too much time off, but we're planning on doing one. I think in 2 or 3 weeks. I think we're going to go for Banff for like the Friday and then Saturday come home. So yeah, it is nice. It's nice. It cuts that drive down a lot, long time. That's for sure.
Last question to you, Landon.
Last question. Well, I mean, we'll stick with the Calgary theme. Did you get through the Stampede at all? Is that one of your staples? Are you the full cowboy garb going on?
It's only 2 years now.
Stick it away.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. I mean, I lived in Edmonton. My buddies and stuff go, but I actually don't wear cowboy stuff at all when I'm at Stampede. I know who I am. All right.
No chaps for you?
I mean, I put a hat on sometimes. I put that, but I got no boots. Like, you know what I mean? But I only got a little bit of the Stampede because I've had like weddings. Like I think it was 3 or 4 straight weekends in a row where it was weddings. And so I only got a couple days in, which was kind of nice in hindsight this year. But yeah, I live kind of close to downtown, so you can hear it from my place. So it's hard not to check it out. It was pretty crazy.
I tell you what, you talk about weddings. Last weekend, there were 5 NHL weddings. I mean, it's crazy.
It's nuts.
Guys are getting, this must be the post-COVID wedding system or something going on.
The post-COVID wedding boom is happening because all my friends in real life in different areas it was like every weekend for 4 in a row, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like it was like, geez. But it's all for love, I guess, but it's definitely the post-COVID boom, I would say. Yeah, well, must be.
Listen, thank you for taking time for us. We're not we're not post-COVID, but we're having a good time and enjoying the summer as well. And say hello to your dad for us, will you?
I will, for sure. Thanks for having me, guys. I'll see you around.
That's Jake DeBrusk on 100% Canucks. Landon and I'll be back after this. Well, Landon, usually, and I say this respectfully, commentators are not high-profile stars on teams. Goaltenders, backup goaltenders, fourth liners, enforcers, guys that have to work their way to the National Hockey League will be broadcasters. But I would suggest to you, that Jake DeBrusk, as a star, will be a commentator if he wants to.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, I just imagine him sitting around the kitchen table with his family, and much like when my family gets together, you're almost fighting to get your words in because everyone wants to talk a ton, right? Like, and especially when the topic's hockey, like, you can see as he's going how much he loves it and how much, you know, the game is inside of him. And he's someone that doesn't just kind of think about it lightly, like he puts thought into it. So I could see him having a great career trying to, you know, he's I'd say he's probably eclipsed his dad's career already on the playing side. I'd be curious to see if he could do it on the broadcasting side too.
Well, he's eclipsed his dad as far as goals and assists.
Yes.
Because there are other aspects of the game that Mr. Louis DeBrusque did better than Jake, I would suggest.
Oh, I don't think it's that's far of a stretch either. I bet there's, even to this day now, Jake's not going to try and get his dad in a corner and show him who the man is now.
Well, I tell you what, the fascination is that Jake talked about it. He was a late bloomer as far as growth, because Louis is a massive man. He is a big boy. And Jake's doesn't have near that size, but he is finally late in his junior career, he was able to take that and use a bit of that size. But he's certainly a different style player than his old man was.
Yeah, but it's interesting when he talks about being a late bloomer, and the guy that always comes to my mind, although he didn't quite grow much past it, was, you know, I grew up playing against Brendan Gallagher all the time.
Right.
And he was always the smallest guy on the ice, but what they do similar is they're always around the front of the net. They find their way into the mess a little bit, and they can find that loose puck. They can find that next opening. But it's probably because as a kid, like, they weren't the biggest guys. They couldn't just skate through people. They had to be smarter. They had to really work a bit harder. And not only that, but willing to take extra punishment to get to those areas. And as you look at their careers now, and Jake's, like, they just kept building on it because it was never just easy for them.
Right. And let's face it. When you're around Patrice Bergeron, when you're around David Krejci, when you're around Brad Marchand, you learn a work ethic. He's been able to bring that work ethic to the Canucks. And I suspect, based on the way he was talking, he has a real desire to improve that for his teammates in Vancouver and eventually into some playoff success.
Yeah, and I think that's a big reason why Vancouver felt comfortable committing to him long term, is the fact that, you know, whether he puts up, you know, his previous highs of 27 in two seasons and last season 28, or he has a bit of an off year at 15, like, he's always pushing to get better and make the guys around him better. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, yeah, goals are great, and it's the best feeling in the world. But if you're not making playoffs, you're not making long pushes into the playoffs. You know, he's like, Jake's already lost once in a Stanley Cup final. Like, he has that experience and that heartbreak. You know that he wants to get back there, and if there's a way that he can help his team, of course on the score sheet, but off it as well, being a good teammate, helping the young guys, helping the guys even that are older than him, trying anything that he can, he's going to do it for the team. And that's, again, a big reason why I think that he's here for a long term.
Yep, it's good news for Vancouver, good news for Vancouver Canuck fans as well. Thanks for this, Landon. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, have a good one.
Landon Ferraro, John Shannon, another edition of 100% Canucks. Have a great week, folks.